week, Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Mistborn House War. And I have one of the masterminds behind the game. I have Alex with me today. How's it going, Alex?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Well, thanks for coming on the show again. If you're a listener of Sweet Kicks with Bricks for a while, Alex has been on the show, what, like a couple times now, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But this is the first time we have a Kickstarter of real note.
Oh, well, I liked your last Kickstarter, which was, I believe the last time we had you come on was about the Mistborn Dice, and that was a success, and now we're into, full-fledged board game. So, for the new listeners, Alex, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Crafty Games?
Okay, my name is Alex Flagg. I am the co-founder and lead designer at Crafty Games. We publish Spycraft, the Mistborn adventure game. We made Mistborn Allomancy dice, and we also make games like Little Wizards and things like that. And we recently started moving towards board and card games. And one of the first things we wanted to do was to use the Mistborn license for that sphere. Brandon Sanderson's people were very interested in that sort of development. They wanted us to go that way, and we did too. So we started the process about 2 years ago, and I've been the lead developer on this project and getting it all the way to here.
Nice. Well, I'm excited that it's here. I'm a big Brandon Sanderson fan and love all of his work. And those of you that haven't read any of his books, you should definitely check it out. But we're here to talk about a board game. So tell us about Mistborn House War. What is it, and what can people expect from
it? So Mistborn House War, so we already have a role-playing game, the Mistborn adventure game. And so it's much more kind of a traditional thing. For those of you familiar with the Mistborn universe, this is a game where you get to play criminal crews, kind of sticking it to the man. We have that, everything you kind of expect, a way to recreate the hero's journey that, Vin and Kelsey are in Sazed and all those other characters you love get to take, and you can do it in your own way and play in Brandon's sandbox, as it were.
Nice.
But with the board game, one of the things we want to do is make sure that kind of each iteration of the Mistborn universe had its own feel and its own thing. And so, when I started out kind of coming up with the basic concept before we got Kevin Wilson as our designer, I was trying to figure out, what are some new ways we can play in the universe and ways that we can kind of do a shorter version that's a little closer to the novels for fans of the novels and things like that. And so what Mistborn House War is a kind of a side narrative to the events of Mistborn the Final Empire. In this game, instead of playing the heroes from the novels sticking to the man and just basically going through the motions of the first book, instead you were actually playing noble houses.
You are the man.
Well, sort of. So it's an interesting thing. So, and I know my perspective's different because I've had to think about this in a lot of ways. The nobles are portrayed in these books as very kind of callous and calculating and political and everything you'd expect from kind of an Edwardian sort of nobility. Lots of looking down your nose and backstabbing and stuff. But you also have, magical allomancers flying around that are killing each other wholesale and stuff like that. But one of the things that I've been thinking about, because we are working towards a Mistborn adventure game supplement on nobles, is really exploring how everybody in the Final Empire lives a pretty crappy life.
Yeah.
In this case, the nobles, what struck me was the nobles are kind of stuck between these two poles. They've got the Lord Ruler and the Steel Ministry on one side, and then they've got the Ska, who are understandably revolting against their rule, on the other side. And so that's what the game is. So essentially, your nobles, you are trying to work with each other to solve problems in the Empire. And so this is a game of really negotiation and, as I like to call it, a game of frenemies. Because no one house is powerful enough to solve these problems by themselves more than maybe once or twice in a game, then solve a problem. But then on the other side, only one can be the top house. So you've got this cooperative, competitive thing, because if you don't solve these problems, things start to go – the empire starts to fall apart. Unrest can tear it apart. You can have all sorts of cascading problems that blow up in your face. Literally, we call it eruption. You can literally blow up in your face, you know, causing you to lose more resources and kind of put you in a death spiral, or to hammer lots of other things you need to win the game. And so the game tracks, and there's a lot of problems. For those who are familiar with the novels, you've got a lot of ways to see the novel in there. There's novel quotes on every single problem card, and you'll see problems like not only, oh, you know, you've got to make appearances at balls, and you've got to deal with the Steel Ministry hitting you with all these sorts of taxes. On the other side, you also have the characters from the novels come as problems as well. So, like, a guy like Kelsier, when he appears very suddenly, and then when he erupts, if he's not solved fast enough, he blows up and increases the unrest, and then he comes back on the board and attacks it again, and back on the board and attacks it again. And so he can actually tip the whole game very quickly by himself. And it's all the novel characters do that, like – Breeze, you know, he's a soother. He can control people's emotions. So he comes in and he prevents any problem. You can never make problems any less likely to erupt. So they always, everything has to continue sliding towards eruption. And if he goes off the end, he spikes the ball on a bunch of other problems, meaning if he gets off the board, all the other problems move towards the end of exploding. So it's you have this kind of inexorable march of problems towards eruption in the game. So that's kind of a timer, and that puts everybody in a mood where they have to cooperate. So the game itself, there's a very long way of getting around to the point. This game is all about cooperating to figure out how to solve problems with each other in a way that serves your best interests. So it's very, you know, very much like economic sort of thinking. How is helping this one guy by providing him resources so he can solve the problem going to get me extra favor, which is victory points? How is it going to prevent me from being hit by the consequences of that problem in another turn by somebody else? Because whoever's turn it is gets to choose who gets hammered by a problem that erupts or is solved. So sometimes you want to take things off the board when it's because it will protect you and protect your future interests. Sometimes you want to take things off the board just to score points. Sometimes you want to do it to solidify a political alliance. Very much like Noble's thinking, but the game itself is very simple. You know, the strategy is where the strategy you can lay on top of it, and the kind of triangulated thinking is where a lot of the depth and replayability of the game really comes in.
Definitely. And you know, the game looks fantastic. It looks exciting, and you know, just to be able to be immersed in that world that so many people have grown to love. But granted, you know, you don't need to be familiar with the books to enjoy the game. Is that correct?
Oh, not at all. So probably at this point, we've been demoing this game. The game's been designed in one form or another for about 18 months. So we've been playtesting it for a year and a half, effectively. And you know, we took it to Gen Con last year, and at Gen Con, probably fully half the people we had, it split in one of two ways. Either there were super hardcore Mistborn people who just, you know, their heads turned around backwards when they saw there was a Mistborn game, and they came over and
they're like, what?
Yeah, there's a board game, there's a role-playing game.
I'm on this right now.
We had one gal who, like, literally teared up. She was so excited. You know, I mean, it's, you know, the folks who love Brandon's stuff, I mean, they really, really love it. But the other half of people were not familiar. They were significant others, friends, just con-goers that were looking for new board games. And the nice thing is the way that I've worked with the game itself and the way, you know, the design that Kevin did and then, you know, what I did in terms of, like, kind of skinning that game has been to prevent spoilers. So it's designed to be in on the novels. And you'll know, like, if you read the books after you play the game, you'll recognize characters. You'll recognize, oh, that's the way Ham works the way he does. Oh, that's why the game ends when the Vin card is solved or erupts. I recognize the name Lacalle, or I recognize the name Venture, or whatever. But those, it requires absolutely no knowledge of the games or of the books themselves. You can be enjoyed just as a straight negotiation game, and the skin, the Mistborn skin doesn't really get in the way of how you can engage with the game in a lot of the ways. In a lot of ways, like Lords of Waterdeep, where you can play Lords of Waterdeep without knowing anything about Forgotten Realms. But if you really love the Forgotten Realms, there's a lot of things to just, you know, like, oh, cool, they've got owlbears in this, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. So the game in itself, how long does it take to play around, so to speak?
Well, so the game itself is just broken down into turns. It's just a rolling turn structure. So all you do during your turn is you gather resources, you move the problems towards eruption. Everything moves one column to the right from where it starts. There's four columns on the board. So everything marches off towards the end of the board. Then you put a new problem on the board, and it has a starting urgency, so it starts in columns 1 to 3, wherever it's indicated on the card. And then you choose whether you're going to solve a problem or not. Or you can pass the turn. So the gameplay, individual player turns, take, you know, a couple minutes. There's most of the time, that time is about negotiating with other people, try to help you solve problems or explain what your strategy is or con them into helping you or whatever. And then once that's done, it moves on to the next player. So the game itself, if you're playing kind of a standard length game, it'll take about an hour and a half, actually. Okay. Yeah, so 'cause what you do is you actually have a randomly generated ending. Well, your ending's condition is fine, but what you do is you take Vin and the Vin card, and you shuffle her in varying depth in the deck, depending on how long you want the game to go. And so, you know, you can put her up in the top half, or you can put her in the kind of middle third, or the middle third, or you can put her in the bottom quarter, basically. So it's very simple to set up, and you can kind of determine how long you want to play for.
Awesome. So as we're recording today, you guys still have 21 days left to go on your campaign. It's scheduled to end on July 20th, and you guys are already very well successfully funded. So congratulations.
Thank you. No, it was real. It was a great gratification, I think, to see how quickly people kind of rallied around the game. And, you know, we funded in the first 4 hours. And, it's just...
That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And people have just been coming, you know, out of the woodwork, really. And so we have these, you know, great surges of folks who are just kind of discovering it and jumping on board. So it's been really great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So we know the game's going to get made now. So after the campaign ends, when do you hope to have the game out to the backers? And do you guys plan on bringing it to retail?
Oh, yeah. So we do... plan, like our announced date is April 2017. We, of course, are hoping we can beat that. The game is really well, very far in development. I mean, the design is pretty much locked at this point. The rule book is written. It needs a editorial pass, and we're going to add some more tips for strategy in there. Most of our art for nearly all the art for the personality deck is done, and a significant portion of the problems deck is done. Those are the two decks that come in the game. So, and the board is done too, because it looks stellar. So basically, we're probably a couple more months of illustration, and then we'll be going into production.
Awesome. And do you guys hope to bring this to general retail, or will it be just to the backers?
Oh, no, it'll absolutely be coming out in retail. So especially with, you know, right now I think we're sitting at 1,600 backers. We're definitely going to be bringing it into retail. So using that economy of scale, and, you know, as you know, the better something does on Kickstarter, usually the better it does in retail nowadays. Yeah.
Definitely. No, it's very true. So side question, you may not be able to answer this question, but it's something that I thought about. So you guys have been fully immersed and, you know, in the Mistborn world, but are there any other of the worlds that Brandon Sanderson has created that you guys are wanting to dabble into and maybe create a board game, whether it's from, you know, the Stormlight Archive, or, you know, even Steelheart or something like that, or his Alcatraz versus the evil librarians. You know, he has so much. You could have a kid game type of thing. So is there any talks about dabbling in the other world?
Not at this time. I actually don't know anything about the other plans for tabletop or tabletop licensing at this point. We haven't pursued any because Mistborn kind of keeps our hands full, and we have our own brands and things that we're developing too. So we're very happy with Mistborn at this time. I mean, you know, if Brandon were game, or, you know, we decided we had enough room in the schedule, we'd love to take that sort of thing on. But right now, I just had a second baby, so it tends to be I can't see past next week.
I totally understand. I understand. But then, you know, there's possibilities in the air. So that's we'll keep it at that. But, you know, Mistborn, of course, he's still writing Mistborn books, and so you guys will have tons of material just to pull from that series within itself.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the Mistborn adventure game is steaming on forward. You know, we've got a new Alloy of Law novel or supplement. So we've done the Alloy of Law era in the Mistborn adventure game, and we're doing a supplement for that book to bring it up to date with the second and third Alloy books, Shadows of Self and Bands of Mourning. And so that this can, all the new stuff that happens in the most recent Mistborn books are going to be compressed into one volume and added to the collection. And then we're going to go, as I mentioned, going back and doing Nobles and things like that. That's our next project. So we're excited. And then Mistborn, the Mistborn Houseboard is not the only board game or card game that we have planned in the Mistborn universe, but those are a little further off at this point, still in the kind of early design stages and proposal stages.
Well, that's still exciting. So, Alex, thanks for coming on the show. I know that with the, you know, your Kickstarter and everything else that you're doing, you're a busy man, so thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come and tell us a little bit more about Mistborn Houseboard today.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
And let people know where they can find out more about Crafty Games.
Well, you can find more at crafty-games.com or mistbornhouseware.com.
Awesome. And thank you again. And thank you to Dan Patrice. He's Dan, the board game man. He created our intro and outro, and you can find him at the Geek All-Stars. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.